In this episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast, I'm going to answer a question for you.
What's that?
The question is, are you living with a narcissist? This will be interesting.
Yes, it will be.
We're going to talk about narcissists, their tendencies. Actually, where I'm going to define it based on the actual clinical definition. And we're going to talk about it. I'm going to give you numerous signs to know if you're living with a narcissist.
Wow. Okay.
And as usual, we'll give something away. We always do.
All right.
Hang in there, folks. We'll be right back.
Get ready for the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright, originating from the suburbs of Detroit, Michigan. He has hypnotized thousands of people from all over the United States. David R. Wright has been featured on news outlets all across the country and is the clinical director of an outpatient mental health and hypnosis clinic located just south of Detroit, where he helps people daily using the power of hypnosis. Welcome, the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright.
What is going on, my friends? This is David Wright, the Motor City Hypnotist. We are back with another episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast.
Hello.
That is Matt Fox, the other voice you hear.
Hello, David.
We are here in the podcast, Your Voice, Southfield Studios,
yes,
hanging out, doing a podcast, getting started a little bit early. So my Facebook Live people, don't worry. You didn't miss anything.
Right.
You know, we're just getting started. So, yeah. You know, you'll be in.
We're early.
And the great thing about it is once it's done, you just go back and listen to the whole thing again.
Right. And pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Is there a man back there?
It is the spooky season.
Yes, it is. And if you missed it, last week we did the last podcast. I don't know when that will drop in order, but
sure,
it'll be before this one. We counted down the top 10 scariest TV shows of all time.
We did.
Spooktacular Halloween special.
Did you watch one of them? The one that would follow the House of Usher?
Yes.
Did you like it?
Yes, I'm like four episodes in.
Oh, yes. So good.
Yeah, Kendra and I are watching it, yes.
Did you get to the lemonade part?
No. Oh, yes, I did get to the lemonade part. That was fantastic. Yeah, what a great... And I love Bruce, what's his name? The actor. The guy, the Usher guy. He was
Father Usher.
He was Captain Pike in Star Trek.
Yes.
Yeah. The new remakes. You know.
He's so good.
He's a great actor, though. I love him in anything. He's great. but we're here doing a podcast. Let me tell you, folks, where you can find me. The website is MotorCityHypnotist.com. Check it out, especially if you're interested in shows. We're already booking for grad season already. I already have probably 7 shows booked for April, May, June of next spring.
Wow.
So if you're a high school committee, parent committee, or whatever, reach out because those dates are filling up fast. I already have a couple of doubleheaders scheduled, as a matter of fact. So one time I've done 3 shows in one night, but that timing has got to work out perfect. So
same space or different spots?
Different spots,
wow.
Different locations.
Yeah.
Finish the show, pack up, drive to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Do the show, pack up, drive to the next one. But that one... It ended up the last show of the night was like at 5:30 a.m. So it was spaced out enough that I could get to all 3. But if you're looking for a hypnotist for your grad night, now is the time to book because, again, I'm already booking up. And just to throw this out there, as far as events coming up while we're talking about the website, next month in November, November 17th, that's a Friday evening.
That's my daughter's birthday.
I'm appearing at the Motor City Casino Soundboard.
Are you now?
As there's a fundraiser for the Mariners Inn.
Hmm.
Mariners Inn does a lot of work with homeless and drug abuse and things like that. And it's their yearly I don't know what you call it, like... Not banquet, really, but their yearly big fundraising event.
All right.
So, yeah, I will have information on my Facebook page and my website regarding that fundraiser if you'd like to go.
Fun.
So, speaking of that, let me tell you where my social media. Facebook is Motor City Hypnotist, and on YouTube is also Motor City Hypnotist. And check that Facebook page out for any updates as far as that show coming up, that fundraiser you might want to... Come out and enjoy an evening.
Sure.
Stop down the Motor City Casino, see a hypnosis show, support a great cause, and do some gambling.
Well, okay.
Fire up. You can find me on Instagram and Snapchat at Motor City Hypno. That is H-Y-P-N-O. And as usual, we're always giving away the free hypnosis guide. It's always available. Text the word hypnosis to 313-800-8510. And wherever you're listening, here's the big thing. A lot of you follow us on Facebook Live. A lot of you listen to the podcast on whatever platform you're on. But wherever you're at, wherever you're listening, if it's on the Facebook page, make sure, one, you like my Facebook page. That would be a big start. And even leave a review there for the show on the Facebook page. If you're listening on a platform, whatever the millions of platforms that are out there, right? Leave a review, because it just helps us get in front of more people and it helps us out as far as visibility. And, you know, people might like the show.
Hey,
just get it out there. A review would be fantastic.
Hey, we get enough on our phone.
My sister Amy's checking in. Hi, Amy. Hope you're doing well.
Hello, Amy.
Hope things are good. Thank you for checking in.
Appreciate that. What you drinking?
Four Roses.
Four? Are you sure it's not Maker's?
No.
Oh.
No, okay. It's in the cabinet.
We have Four Roses in there?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I missed out.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I did notice, Matt, going back a bit. Do you know what else is in their closet? Did you see it?
I'm not going to say it.
It's a bottle of Old Soul.
Oh, yeah, I know. I got some serious shit for that.
I know you did. But it's not open yet, because I would not open it.
Yeah.
No way. But it is in there, so...
story short, the bottle disappeared and someone asked me, where did it go? And I'm like, I don't know. It wasn't me.
After that crazy night with
Evan.
Evan, yeah. Evan and Mike, yeah. Matt gifted me the rest of that bottle. And Jamie and Augie didn't know about it.
No, they didn't.
They were just looking for it. It's sitting in my shelf at home. So anyway, there's a bottle of Old Soul in there, just so you know.
All right.
Yeah. All right. All right, folks. It is time.
Here we go.
That's how winning is done.
All right. So the opening of this article just cracked me up, because it's kind of a cliche statement that you want to know what the first line is?
Okay.
Not all heroes wear capes.
I saw that. I saw a meme.
Yeah.
And it said, not all heroes wear capes. And it was a guy going down a long row of women that had the backs of their shirts opened up so he could snap the bra off. And he went over like over and over and over again. He just went down the line.
Are you?
He must have got like 35 people within 20 seconds.
Wow. Wow. That's awesome.
It was pretty funny.
Like this in the background. What the fuck is it with you?
He was having fun, I guess. Not all heroes wear capes. Some, like Raquel Radford Baker.
How you doing?
Drives a school bus.
How you doing?
Yeah. How you doing? She drives a school bus.
Oh, good for you.
All right.
Baker, a veteran driver for Dallas Independent School District, was on a routine route for the kids at Segoville North Elementary School when one of them, a boy just 7 years old, began to choke.
Mm-hmm.
First grader Preston motioned to Baker that he needed help. Surveillance camera footage showed that he had swallowed something just a moment before. Thinking he needed to throw up, Baker opened the bus door and told him to get out. Go let hurl.
No! No! Don't shut me up!
You gonna throw up?
But Preston gesticulated that wasn't the problem. I didn't have time to look up the footage of this. I want to see it. I want to see what kind of gesticulation he made.
Okay.
He probably went to his throat, the international sign for choking,
of course. Sure.
Baker saw the correction that was needed, took Preston off the bus, and performed the Heimlich maneuver just in time.
All right.
Preston called her his hero and a bus stop angel. Recently, Preston's mother, Gia, and Baker were able to meet for the first time since the incident, and tears were understandably shed.
Aww.
So, yeah, okay. That's very, I guess you would assume a bus driver would be aware of things, but I'm going to guess maybe not all bus drivers are. Maybe they just drive and don't pay attention. I would hope not.
Me neither.
But as a whole, you know, that's a good story that she was aware enough to say, hey, something's up here, and figured it out. You know, she didn't just shove them off the bus to go throw up and leave, you know, just keep driving down the road.
All the bus drivers I always had.
Clean out your desk. You're gone.
All the bus drivers I had, they only had one thing to say. Sit down in the back, because kids would always stand up in the back of the bus, right? That's all my bus driver said.
So to Raquel Radford Baker and to Preston, the 7-year-old boy, who's fine, great story.
Yeah, not winners, all heroes wear capes.
Winners of the week for sure.
They drive a bus.
How winning is done.
Yes, it is. So if you're ever choking on a coin, gesticulate so that someone can help you.
Don't you need to be in private when you do that? Oh!
What in blazes are you talking about?
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Sexy time. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to answer a question today, folks.
So,
are you living with a narcissist?
It's a great question.
That is the question.
And a lot of people...
That is the question.
They think they are, just based on their own knowledge.
Right.
What they feel a narcissist would
be.
Well,
here's the thing, and it's just like a lot of psychological terms that get thrown around a lot. Mm-hmm. The one that for me as a professional in my field, the one that drives me the most nuts is bipolar. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're so bipolar. Because people see that just a mood swing as bipolar, right. And that's not it at all. That's not what it is. That's not how it works.
There's a lot that goes into
that. There's a lot more, and it's very, it's much deeper than simple mood swings. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's one that drives me crazy. Narcissism, it is definitely a something that is defined in the DSM-5, which is the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders.
Okay.
So it is a definite diagnosis. Here's the problem, though. Most narcissists don't believe or don't feel like they're a narcissist. That's the problem with narcissism.
I said this before we started recording tonight. I'm like, we all have, at some point in our lives, narcissistic tendencies.
Well, no. And I agree with you. Most 100%. We can all have tendencies towards different things. In fact, I tell every client, and every client that I've seen will agree with you, every client I talk to for the first time, I say this specifically. I'm like, listen, everybody's effed up.
Yeah.
Everybody has issues they could be working on. Everybody can improve themselves. That's just the way it is.
Right.
Most people don't take any action to do that. Therefore, the people that come to therapy are way ahead of most of the rest of the population. Mm. So you're right. We can all have these tendencies. But I'm going to give you the DSM-5 definition for narcissism.
Okay. What is the definition?
Number one, I'm not going to number because there are a bunch. But first, a grandiose sense of self-importance.
Right. Oh.
Now, I am so good. I am
Get
very...
Get ready for the Motor City Hypnotist, David R.
I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
That's an example of a grandiose sense of self-importance.
Right.
Yeah.
I get that.
Anchorman, he would have that,
yes.
You know.
I'm much better than you.
Yes, of course. And when I say grandiose, it's not just saying, yeah, I'm a good person, or I'm thinking of a good way to say it. Like, you really believe you are the cat's ass. I mean, just,
ass.
You know. I haven't heard that saying in a long time.
I've never heard. You just think
you're what kind of stupid wiener name is that?
What's your name, cat's ass?
Yeah. I may have told the story, Matt, but I'll go back a little bit. So I was doing a temp job for a while, way back when, at a company, and we had these four people that sat together, and we used to banter back and forth. And come to find out, we all realized we were all Virgos, so we called ourselves the Virgo Posse.
Mm-hmm.
And this would come up whenever anybody said something that was an old man term, or like
yes,
like a dated term.
You'd write it down.
Like grocer or cobbler. or cat's ass, or, you know, things like that. We kept a whole list, so we busted each other all the time for those types of things.
I'm writing that down, the cat's ass. I'm going to use that.
Yes, please do. You have my permission.
Thank you.
So again, a grandiose sense of self-importance. Next, a preoccupation with fantasies of unlimited success, power, brilliance, beauty, or ideal love.
That's like having a podcast.
Yes, it is. I have fantasies of unlimited success and power, brilliance, beauty. Yeah, it's just like that. It's just like a podcast.
What are you people? On dope?
I just call it the way it is, you know.
No, oh, absolutely. But this preoccupation, it takes over. That the people run their lives with this. Mm-hmm. It's just this, and look at all of the things that it states in this diagnosis: success, power, brilliance, beauty, or ideal love. They're these unrealistic expectations or fantasies of what this person feels like they deserve. Next is a belief that he or she is special and unique and can only be understood by or should associate with other special or high status people.
Yeah, like Alan Benson.
Alan! Right on time! Yeah. Hopefully you heard that. Hey, Alan. Happy Monday to you, too. Hey, Alan. Hey, Alan.
What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, he just
the belief that he or she is special and unique and can only be understood by or should associate with other special or high status people.
Right.
A need for excessive admiration.
A need for it.
Yep. A need for it.
They seek it out?
Yes. They seek it out. They think they deserve it. They want it. Excessive admiration. This just goes without a sense of entitlement. They feel entitled. Doesn't matter if they deserve it or not. They feel entitled to it.
Sure.
Interpersonally exploitive behavior.
All right. Repeat that one more time.
Interpersonal exploitive behavior.
Help me understand that.
Okay. So in any of these relationships, interpersonal relationships, whether it be friends, family, partners, coworkers, they use behavior to exploit others to get what they want.
So they may act out.
They may act out. It may be verbally. It may be. So let me give you an example of an exploitive behavior.
Okay.
Would be, you need to say I'm great or you're not going to get this raise. So, something like that. I mean, that's pretty on the nose, but it's exploiting others for your own gain. Ah. Let's say that.
I'm the boss.
A lack of empathy. That's
a big
one.
Oh, of course.
Totally. No empathy towards other people or their feelings or what they're going through.
Right.
None whatsoever.
Because their feelings are the most important.
Mm-hmm. Envy of others or a belief that others are envious of him or her. So you're envious of me, Matt. That's what I believe.
Yeah, because you have a podcast.
I'm so great.
Yeah, you have a podcast. And I don't.
Oh, great Odin's Raven.
You actually have two podcasts.
I don't know.
Three.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Man Cave Happy Hour. Check it out, folks. It's a good time.
A bunch of narcissists sitting around a table.
Check it out. A bunch of narcissists. Think about that. We need to do a podcast and call it the Narcissist Podcast.
Oh, it's
where we'll all just act.
I'm not going to kid
you. Haughty and important.
Not going to kid you. There probably already is a podcast.
There probably is.
All right.
But here's the thing. Are these people really narcissists or are they just playing at being a narcissist?
That doesn't matter. There's still one out there.
That's true. You're right. Okay. And this goes on. This may be more fitting to I'm not going to say it because Jamie and Augie will kill me because you're here. This may apply to Man Cave. A demonstration of arrogant and haughty behaviors or attitudes.
Oh, no, we're not haughty. No, we're not haughty at all. Because, we're not hot. We're all middle-aged men that just like to talk about bourbon.
Well, it's haughty, not haughty.
Oh, see.
Haughty.
Oh, good for you.
What exactly is haughty behavior?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know either because I've never experienced it.
It's hot here all of a sudden.
It's haughty.
H-A-U-G-H-T-Y.
Okay, fair enough.
A demonstration of arrogant and haughty behaviors or attitudes.
But there's no...
So here's honestly, I'm going to break this down into one word. Don't be an asshole.
Right.
I mean, that covers most of what we covered here.
Right. Listen, I'm gonna pull the man cave back into this.
Yeah, okay.
When we sit down for a man cave, we interview brand ambassadors. We interview, you know, CEOs of companies and what have you. And we might be a little off the cuff, but we don't think of ourselves as, you know, all that important. We're just
No, exactly. And I'm really just busting your balls, man.
I know you are, but I'm just trying to. But I'm so self-important.
I don't know what we're yelling about.
So all those things I just mentioned are the symptoms on how you would diagnose a narcissist.
Yeah.
Now the problem would be, and I have in my 30 plus years of doing what I do, I have dealt with many narcissists along the way.
I would imagine, yeah.
And I can diagnose based on the DSM-5, based on those criteria I just read. The person that I'm diagnosing, though, would in no way agree with that.
I don't believe you.
Well, and I would never say, you know what, you are, you're a narcissist. I mean, I would go to a more indirect kind of a way. But because that's how you have to deal with narcissists.
That's why I couldn't be.
You can't be head on direct because you're just going to hit a brick wall.
I'm too honest as an individual. As a therapist, I'd be like, you got issues. You got some serious issues you need to work out.
Well, you know, I go back to my first statement I made. I tell clients all the time, listen, okay, yeah, you have issues, but we're all left up. We all have issues. Every human being has issues.
I'd go Madea on your ass.
That's a fact. You know, it's just that's the way it is. So let me go over signs that you are in a narcissistic relationship. Now, this doesn't have to be a marriage necessarily.
No, it doesn't.
It could be a friendship. Mm-hmm. It could be a family, a relative. It could be a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a partnership. It could be a marriage.
Yeah.
It could be with coworkers. So it's any relationship could be narcissistic. So the first one is you feel manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that can be very general. In relationships, one partner may use like subtle threats that you might not notice at first. Now they might not be explicit threats like, "Oh, I'm gonna cut you off of all financial support," but it might be very, very subdued. It might be very like, "Oh no, I don't have any money this month, so." You know, but they use that to control people. So if you feel manipulated, that's probably one big sign that you might be living with a narcissist.
That's where people feel like they might be, the financially abusive.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
And that's a newer term that's coming.
It is, but that is definitely part of this. And we're going to get to that a little bit more specifically on finances in a little bit.
All right.
But it's the whole feeling when you're manipulated, you feel like if you don't go along, there are going to be consequences.
Ah, okay.
Think about that. If you don't say yes and go along with your partners or your whatever. When I say partner, I'm using this in a general sense for the other partner in the relationship, whatever kind of a relationship that is.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like you have to go along or there's going to be some sort of dire consequences for you,
right?
That is definitely being manipulated.
Hmm.
So and really the whole point of this is the narcissist wanting to get their way.
Right.
That's how you manipulate people to get your own way. That's what happens.
To be in control.
And what happens over a period of time, especially in marriages, you kind of forget what life was like before you started being manipulated because it's just become like the norm and you've went along with it for so long that you kind of downplay it. You're kind of like, oh no, it's not manipulation. I agree to it, but really, if you get down to it, you're agreeing to it because you fear repercussions, and not necessarily violence, but you know, just being cut off emotionally or socially or whatever.
Right.
But yes, if you feel manipulated, that's one sign.
Okay.
Number two, and it kind of goes along with this, You don't feel connected to the other person. And again, that's a very general statement, so we're going to go into that a little bit.
Emotionally, spiritually, sexually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So if it seems like your partners, they tend to prioritize convenience over actually sitting down and communicating with you or taking time to do something with you. So for example, they're never going to take the initiative to ask what you feel or what your plans are or what are your desires or what do you want, because they don't really care. That's the whole point. They'll often boast about their own achievements, but they couldn't care less about yours.
Huh.
They downplay your achievements totally. And their happiness seems to be connected towards external factors like work, success, financial status. So it kind of makes you feel like, are they capable of experiencing romantic love?
Okay.
Or in another sense of a relationship, a meaningful friendship or family relationship.
Mm.
And so that one, and a lot of these are going to overlap, as we know, but if you don't feel connected to a person, that you're just, if they're a narcissist, I guarantee you're not going to feel connected to them.
Sure. Wow.
You're going to feel like you're going through the motions.
Hmm.
And this kind of goes into the next one where it kind of progresses. You don't feel good enough.
Meaning
you have more feelings of inadequacy with this person than with anyone else.
Huh. Okay. So
your partner will tend, or the other party will tend to criticize or put down or make negative remarks about things you might be interested in, about your career, about your achievements, about what you like.
Right.
Something as simple as just, you know, I like to go to this restaurant. Nah, that restaurant's crap. We're not going there. You know, something as simple as that could be on the spectrum of manipulation and putting down your likes and your achievements.
Huh.
So if you don't feel good enough with somebody, if you feel like that, if you feel tired all the time, like you're always trying but never achieving what this person wants, if you feel like if you start hiding things from other people about this relationship, that's a big one.
Ah.
Because you don't want to tell people what this other person is like.
Right.
You don't want to tell them why you feel the way you do about them.
Huh.
And in fact, it starts to bring, you kind of feel shameful about this relationship in some way.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And here's the big one, that's a telltale sign. And this will typically happen, again, in more romantic relationships. Do you lie to your family about things just so that your partner's not seen in a negative light?
That is a very eye-opening statement, David.
Yep. Because in many relationships, people lie about what really is happening.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I haven't coined this, but it's my philosophy on this. It's the social media. It's
right.
The social media, and I'm trying to think of a good name for it. Portrayal.
Right.
It's a social media portrayal. You only portray what you want other people to see.
Lovey, lovey, dovey, dovey.
Yep. And it could be total shite at home, but on social media, everything looks great.
Right.
And I've, you know, because I've had clients tell me over and over again, yeah, everybody else seems so happy and they're, you know, they're posting, they're going on vacation and I'm like, listen, don't. That is an edited, watered down version of real life.
Right.
That's all that is.
Right.
You're just getting highlights.
Mm-hmm. You're not getting it.
And
you're not getting,
even if you get 100 highlights, there might be 800 lowlights that they're not including.
Right.
Nobody's going to post on their Facebook an argument that you're getting in with your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't happen.
Well,
I mean, it could happen. But that's not really what people's goals are. They're there to portray what they want you to see.
Now, you know, not to put personal business out there, David.
Yes.
I was on the receiving end of the social media bashing.
Yes. Yes, you were.
And
I was a witness to that.
Yes, you were. And, you know, a lot of folks reached out to me and said, hey, this is, I'm like, that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, that, and this is not particular. I mean, it can apply to this, but this applies to anybody. If that's where you're airing things, that's your problem. If you feel the need to go out and besmirch somebody's reputation,
that's
on you.
Yeah.
Because the people who know you know it's BS.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's why I just I'm like, it's fine, whatever.
Yep. Absolutely.
Nothing I can do about it.
But see, that's something that, again, I go back to the social media portrayal. That is not real life. So if you don't feel good enough, and this is the big one, and Matt even said it, if you lie to cover up behaviors of your partner, that's a problem. That's a big, big red flag.
Yeah.
I mean, like, huge.
Yeah. And, and here's the thing. If you have family that is close to you, David, and you're like, everything's fine, 9 times out of 10, they already know.
Yep.
And,
And it's funny you say that because there is one farther on down that specifically relates to family and friends and their observations.
Yep. And the next episode is going to get into that.
Yeah. No, we are going to get to that. Yeah. Definitely. So, folks, we've just gone through, three different questions as far as to know if you're living with a narcissist. We're going to continue on because I want to make sure I get you all of this information. And I think it's important because if you are living with a narcissist, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a roommate, whether it's a friend, whether it's a family member, this is not it's not a great environment to be in.
No.
And you will end up feeling bad about yourself. Out of no fault of your own, because that's what narcissists do.
Right. It's not a one size fits all.
No, not at all. So we are going to continue next episode with Are You Living With a Narcissist Part 2? And we're going to get into a lot more, I'm not going to say good stuff, but necessary stuff to give you some insight and information.
Thank you for clarifying.
Yep. Before we go, somebody needs an adoption.
Who's that? Me? Somebody adopt me.
It's Bobby.
Bobby.
Bobby at Detroit Dog Rescue. There's Bobby.
That's like a little Scooby-Doo.
Damn it, Bobby.
It's Scrappy-Doo. That's who that is.
If you weren't my son, I would give you a hug.
Come on, it's Scrappy-Doo.
Yes. He's a mixed breed. He was born in July of 2023, just a puppy, a few months old. Dog-friendly, cat-friendly, kid-friendly.
Come on.
She'll be about 55 pounds. No, I'm sorry. It's Bobby.
Bobby.
Well, Bobby could be a girl, too.
Bobby could be a girl.
It's male. Says here, gender's male.
All right.
So look at that face. Look at Bobby.
It is Scrappy-Doo. I swear to God.
Oh, damn it, Bobby. So Bobby needs a home. DetroitDogRescue.com. He's available right now.
Put him up.
Get him. So he needs somebody to... He needs some kids and some other dogs and a family.
He's adorable.
He is. He's great. That's why I pay. Plus, his name is Bobby.
Bobby.
I always love dogs with human names. I don't know why. That just cracks me up.
My puppy at home, his name is Preston.
Yeah.
You know what he's doing when he's laying down? He's pee resting. But up, bub.
No! No! Don't shut me up!
I ain't listening to you no more.
So back to it. Bobby needs a home.
All right. Get
Detroit
Bobby.
Dog Rescue.
Go rescue him.
Check him out. Rescue him. People on Facebook Live, stick around. We have another show coming up.
Yes.
Those of you listening, whatever platform you're listening on, jump ahead to the next episode. If it's not there, it will be there on Tuesday or Thursday.
Perfect.
In the meantime, change your thinking, change your life, laugh hard, run fast, be kind. We'll see you next time.